Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky? Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was a meeting you here today to take you to...
Was she leading and then she just...
Yeah, they won't be able to set up.
So we want to hear. Amelia's Jewels, she's just had a gallop. Last gallop before the golden pendant on Saturday. Happy man on board.
Yeah, I honestly can't believe the improvement she's showed from her first run to her gallop this morning. It was just... felt like I was on a different horse and I thought she was going good beforehand, so pretty excited about Saturday. Just have to draw a barrier now, to be honest.
Hopefully the rain stays away too. You're going better than him.
Oh, yeah. Entered past it, yeah.
He was going hell.
And doing it easy.
How's that grass?
Beautiful.
Is it?
Got a little bit of give in it, which is nice.
Yeah, draw the line over on like best friend.
Best
initially. Yeah.
She's
quite sweet.
He'll happily go anywhere without her.
So the next mate, you're on sunshine next.
Yep, that's right.
Probably better following something out.
Yep, okay. Too easy.
Good.
Yep. About
40.25.
Yeah.
That's
first,
such an
first little bit since the run.
Hi guys.
Yeah. I was going to wait, but she's so fresh and well. I had to do something.
Dragging me around the trotting.
It's 4.226, but just let
Tommy follow you out.
Your grass, your Polly. As in, no, but just you be a nanny. Just get him out onto the grass because she can just jack up sometimes.
The grass again, yeah.
Your grass, yeah. Ellen's Polly.
Sunshine in Paris is having a pretty quiet morning, is she?
Yeah, so she ran, 10 days ago now? So
yes.
She had a very easy week last week. She's going straight to the Everest.
Yeah.
Sort of 5 weeks between runs, so it's sort of, you want to give her a little bit of a freshen up, but you can't take your foot off the pedal either, so.
Yeah, so would she gallop a week today? Would that be her next
serious miss? Yeah, so she'll gallop today and then she'll do something stronger, and she's either going to have a trial or a race course gallop.
Uh-huh.
We're just going to see how she is this week. Whether she, if we think she needs a trial, she'll have a trial. If not, we'll just try and gallop her at the races.
And were
just
you,
for a bit of stimulation.
Sure, were you surprised how well she went in the Scirocco?
I thought she... on paper, she's the best horse in the race, so I probably wasn't surprised that she won. Obviously, the favourite, Jolie Star, had been extremely impressive first up, so we were afraid of her, but...
There's no pressure on you guys, was there?
Yeah, more so we just had a... she still was quite hairy.
Uh-huh.
So I was a bit worried she just wasn't really there in the coat yet, but neither ran would bring her on, so it's, yeah, nice... nice that she won, because she's probably not as forward as she was in going into the race 12 months ago.
And is it normal for you to back off on a horse like her? And you know, because 5 weeks for a sprint is a pretty long time between runs, isn't it?
Yeah, but she goes so well fresh, which is probably more the thinking behind it.
Probably coming from 400 on the grass.
So yeah, that was sort of why we, I suppose, why we just wanted to back off her a bit and keep, you know, make sure she was sort of fresh. It's a fine line. You want them fresh, but you've got to, they've got to be fit as well. So
yeah,
she's been to the beach about four times in the last week as well, just keeping her happy.
She the fastest horse you've ever had?
Yeah, she would be, yeah. She's not the fastest track worker I've ever had.
About her there now, is it?
Yeah, yeah, so she's just got the handbrake on. She's just running up in 25 seconds, the last 400.
She's got me coming back in, off the track.
Did she?
Yeah.
Mommy's just coming out of sit on the sunshine this morning. She just did a very little easy piece on the grass with the handbrake on. Just a leg stretch. Happy?
Yeah, no, needed the seatbelt on this morning for sure. She's pulled up really well from that run. And yeah, Kate, as you can see, has come along great. Really pleased with her.
Sunshine in Paris. She's a bit of an unusual horse in the sense that she was sold as a two-year-old in training, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And she was sold in training. Her owner was selling all of his fillies.
Right.
Sort of good and bad, sold everything. And yeah, she made 90,000.
Yeah, and did you buy her or were you part of them?
No, stable client bought her and 12 months later she then sold for a lot more.
3.9 million.
3.9, but I suppose looking at sort of at it now, well, a lot of these good mares are making telephone numbers, but you know, she can, I suppose she can win an Everest. She's actually, you know, a cheap horse, I suppose.
Yeah, so because she was already Group 1 winner when they bid 3.9 million for her. And I saw that James Harron bought her, but now it's John Camilleri's Fairway who race her?
Yeah, I think he bought her for one of his clients. So, yeah, really exciting. Obviously, John Camilleri's he's a very good breeder, and he obviously wanted to, you know, have her eventually as a broodmare, but she had racing upside as well.
Yeah.
So that was obviously the attraction to her, that you're buying a Group 1 winner, but there's a possibility to add more Group 1s to her CV.
And how, when they bought her as a two-year-old, was she, she'd already been broken in and been trialling and stuff, or not even at that stage?
Yeah, no, I already had her in the stable. She had a couple of trials.
So she was in the stable, and then she got put into the auction, which was an online auction or a... Actual.
It was actually a broodmare at the same sale.
It just seems like the buyer of the century. You pay 90,000 a year later, you sell it for 3.9 million.
If I had 90,000, I would have bought it myself. So, yeah, it's been a great
story.
And
were you pretty bullish on it at that stage? Were you telling everyone that she's the best buy ever at that kind of money? Or it's
still wasn't? I was trying to keep her in the stables.
Yeah.
I was lucky that we did. And, look, I didn't necessarily think she was going to go and win a Group 1, but I knew she had good ability, so it was only then 6 months later probably that she then won her maiden at Canberra, so it was a slow start with her, but
she's lightly raced,
she's still
she?
So lightly raced, like, yeah, I think starts. It was her fourth or fifth start when she won the Surround Stakes.
And Saturday, sweet and sour for your stable. Would you describe Saturday as sweet and sour, is that fair?
Very good description. All the horses right, sort of everything ran well really, bar Faulkner Park and Bois d'Argent were both a bit of a head scratcher. Both of them were actually, because Bois d'Argent's normally very good first up, but whether he's just a bit close to the speed in that company first up possibly. And Faulkner Park probably putting it down to being on the inside of the track. I know some horses did come up the inside, but on the whole I think he had to be wide. Obviously we were drawn inside, and he's never really been inside horses either, so we learnt a bit about him then. I think he's definitely better with room and trying to swoop on the outside if he can. So he needs to pull his finger out now into the Turnbull.
Yep, that'll be a big test. That's going to be a pretty hot Turnbull, isn't it?
Yeah, so we just want to see him hit the line and run well.
That was just, he just didn't hit the line on Saturday. That was
no,
sort of
just like he was just labouring in the ground on the inside. So, look, I think he's probably a horse I didn't expect to necessarily win first up in that sort of grade, but it's all about trying to peak for the Caulfield Cup.
Because he was so dynamic in Brisbane, wasn't he? So there was big expectations.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe not from you, but from others, because he was just such a jet, you know, in those races up in Brisbane.
Yeah, so. And he trialled up really well. He's been working superbly at home, so I certainly haven't lost any faith in him.
The pressure comes off a bit too now, doesn't it? Which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, I'd rather the pressure was on, though.
Yeah.
But, look, I think he'll bounce back. Flemington, nice big track, get his confidence back, and hopefully you know, the firmer the better with him. We've definitely learnt that. The firmer the track, the better he goes.
Yeah, and so the stars were My Oberon and Lilac. My Oberon, like, one of his best runs ever, right? Like,
yeah, he was superb. Yeah. Just took a champion basically to beat him. But
yeah.
He's always a bit forgotten in the market. I couldn't believe when I was watching on the screen and from Melbourne and couldn't believe he was $27.
Yeah.
You know, he's ran second in a Doncaster, third in a King Charles, and he seems to sort of start hitting form at this time of year. So blinkers were back on, and that certainly, you know, gives him a couple of extra lengths.
And where does he go to now?
Possibly goes to the Epsom.
Okay.
And then into the King Charles. So basically exactly the same as last year.
Cool. And Lilac?
She's really nice filly, but we've actually put her out now.
Okay, so that she's done a job for this
prep. She's done a job for this prep. She's just lightened off quite a bit once she got to Melbourne. And we just didn't want to go to the well too many times. I think she's a really nice progressive filly, and the Surround Stakes always comes up quite early. Mm-hmm. Sort of February, March are those light fingers, those three-year-old fillies races. So I thought we'd put her away now, give her a nice break, and then try and target something nice in the autumn with her.
Because the Surround is the Group 1 that Sunshine and Paris won. So
it is, yeah.
Yeah, you know what to do
just
there.
Just hope Autumn Glow's not going there. I'm sure she will be.
Yeah,
she looks like a star.
Yeah, so you think Autumn Glow's a real deal?
Oh, I think she's... It looks amazing. I know a few people say she hasn't rated through the roof, but just visually, she's just an amazing mover. She's very exciting.
Did you look at her at the yearling sales?
Yeah, she cost a fortune.
Yeah, 1.8.
Yeah.
So you didn't even bother. There was a bit of a buzz going around. She was going to go for a lot. You knew you had to tap out.
Yeah, I mean, you always follow horses through that you like, but yeah, it's funny, you love her in your stable, but at the same time, you know, just a joy to watch horses like that. Yeah. She looks...
And we need them, don't we?
We need those horses.
We need that next one. Winx is, you know, yeah, so... you never know, Sunshine in Paris might be it, so...
Yeah, exactly.
She's pretty good.
She's good.
And so it's like 8 or 9 years since you basically arrived in Australia, and am I right in saying you didn't have a huge amount of knowledge about training horses and whatnot, and now you're here and it's... You're like, are you guys the third biggest stable in the country now, is that right?
I'm not sure in numbers. We'd be probably third, fourth, fifth, something
up
like
there.
That. I didn't expect to. I didn't expect to be training here necessarily. Just came here to learn more.
Yeah.
Was always really horsey growing up, but got into the racing industry a bit later. So just trying to learn as much as I could, and I'd planned to do a year here and a year in the States, but I never made it there and stayed put, and have ended up training. So. It's been a bit of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But, loving it.
And you tried out for the Dali Flying Start, but you didn't get in there.
Yeah, I tried twice for the Flying Start, didn't get in. But probably classrooms. There's lots of classrooms and homework, I think, so maybe they realised it wasn't going to suit me.
Yeah, and then so your first job was working with Gay, and then it's just been a sort of a slow progression to where you are now.
Came out, started with Gay, and then moved to Kieran Maher. Once my sort of 6 months was up on my visa, on working holiday visa with Gay, had to switch, and was lucky enough to sort of fall on my feet with a good job at Kieran's. At the time, I think he only had 80 in work, but he grew very quickly while I was there, and it was a really exciting time to be a part of his team.
And there's a bit of similarity between you and Kieran in the sense that neither of you sort of had any start or foundation, you've sort of done it on your own. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I came here with a rucksack, so basically as a backpacker. I think it's just probably a country where I realised if you work hard, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And people like to give young people opportunity here. Mm-hmm. So I probably identified that pretty early on here and just tried to work hard. And I suppose, you know, we're certainly not a big powerhouse like the Maher Stable are, but probably similar model in that, you know, try and have a few different facilities to suit horses rather than just being conventional. We're still growing, I suppose. Not necessarily in numbers, but you're always learning, and you're always looking for something to help improve you. And it's a funny industry because you're just never going to stop learning about horses.
And do you think that the Kieran kind of exploded in that time that you were working with him, and was that very advantageous to your own growth and stuff of your own stable because you were able to sort of copy and emulate a lot of things that worked for him?
Yeah, I think so. Especially when we first moved to Sydney, I came up with Dubious. We had one horse, and we were basically squatting in the visitor's barn at Rose Hill, and he's quite stubborn, Kieran, when he wants to be, and he started sending a few more up, and he said, don't move, that's where we are. If they tell you to get out, that's where we're staying. So we were in there for probably 6 months, and then he said, go and see if you can find stables. So it was a case of just driving around everywhere, and we eventually found a barn here of 25, so took those, and then the next door barn came up, and it just sort of went from there. But that was a good time, you know. Essentially came here with one horse working for him, and we ended up with 50 by the time we left. So I learned a lot about, I suppose, the business side of things as well, because I was having to help recruit staff and try and find boxes. And it wasn't just here's a job with the horses, it was actually, you know, you've got to do everything.
And they are huge businesses, aren't they? Like, what's your headcount of staff?
Yeah, we'd have probably 100 staff.
Wow.
In three states.
Yeah.
So
and how long have you been training in your own right? Was it 4 years?
4 years, yeah.
That's incredible growth, isn't it?
Yeah. No, yeah. It's grown quickly. It feels longer than 4 years.
Yeah.
But it's been really enjoyable. And I think, yeah, certainly the role I had at Kieran's was as good a platform as you could have.
Yeah, so we were talking before about opportunity. There was a lot of opportunity for you when you first, you know, decided that you want to get in the game and whatnot. And do you think that being a woman was an advantage in your situation, because the industry is much more open to trying to get women in positions like you are?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's probably not something I think about too often, but I've been asked the question a few times. But a lot of people ask it the other way around. You feel disadvantaged being a woman, but it's probably all right. It's probably been the opposite. It's almost been an advantage. And I think that's just the way the world's changing. But it's certainly an industry that's, you know, getting a lot more females, whether that's training or probably even more so jockeys, at the top of the game, which is great to see.
Yeah, and you brought Rob on board as well, co-trainer now.
Yep, co-trainer.
Yeah, seems like that's sort of what you have to do these days to run the stables, you know, at the size of you do.
Yeah,
you
do. Obviously got pretty big numbers, and it just seemed a logical step. He's really good, talented horseman. He's basically training them with me anyway, so it was nice to make it a bit more official. And obviously we're partners anyway, so probably not, you know, it's nice for him as well to have his name in the book, because he's putting in as many hours as I do. We live and breathe it, and and we've got, you know, stables in three states as well, so it just makes it that little bit easier when there's two of you as well, because certainly this time of year there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing to Melbourne. I seem to be going to Melbourne a lot, but then, you know, we've still got 100 plus horses here, so you need I think two of you when you get to this size to do it how we want to anyway.
And how often are you heading down to Melbourne?
Weekly at this stage.
Yeah,
the
so you'll be
down
back down
week.
Back down this Saturday. Are you going down Manukato night?
I won't. We've got nothing in on Friday, so actually this is about the only week I'm not going down, because nearly the whole stable ran on Saturday.
Yeah,
so they're all having a quiet
bit of relief.
Week, but then I'll be back down next week, and usually go down once a week, whether that's the Tuesday morning gallops, and then maybe go back down for the races after doing track work here on a Saturday. Tuesdays and Saturdays are the sort of main gallop mornings, but then out of carnival time, a lot of our horses down there will gallop on a Thursday, which is a quiet day here, so it actually works really well.
Yeah. And do you feel like you guys have more growth, or are you pretty happy at the level you're at now?
I think in terms of numbers, we're happy with what we've got. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're really across every horse. And but as always, you're always looking to slightly lift the quality. It is a game where, you know, you do need numbers to find good horses if you want to have a broad spectrum of two-year-olds, Coulthard Cup horses, Melbourne Cup horses, Guineas horses. You know, you can't have a stable of, it's hard to have a stable of 30 and have horses for all of those big Group 1 type races, and they're the races we want to be involved in. So you do need to have the numbers. But then, of course, with that, you know, you end up having a lot of, I suppose, slow horses as well.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, you get as much satisfaction, your horse that you're struggling with at home that's not showing much, you get a lot of satisfaction if you can win a maiden with a horse like that. So I think for us, it's about just, you know, we are reasonably big in numbers, but it's now about trying to, you know, improve the quality.
And you alluded before that you don't mind pressure. How are you feeling the pressure of this spring carnival? Because I'd imagine it's probably the most important spring carnival in your stable's history. A lot at stake. How do you deal with all that pressure?
Yeah, I'm probably getting better at it, but I suppose, yeah, when I say I like pressure, pressure means you've got good horses and you're in good races. Probably handling it a bit better. When I had Zaki that first, yeah, he was favourite for the Cox Plate, and that was, I really felt the pressure there. That was And then obviously you've got an elevated temperature on the day, and that's still probably the toughest day I've had since training. But yeah, you have to also sometimes, you know, when you go home at night, you have to remember that you're essentially working with animals that are running around in circles trying to win races, and you have to sometimes put it all into perspective.
Yeah.
Because you can get so caught up in it, and it is a bit of a pressurised environment, but people are also paying us money to train their horses, and we've got a job to do, so it's always about just trying to do the best we can for each horse and each client.
And do you manage to switch off when you get home, or is it
virtually impossible? Well, home's actually on the yard, so it's relatively hard to switch off. This time of year you don't really, it's all the time, but try and get away on a holiday, usually in end of June, and that's normally a good time to switch off.
Yeah. And is there a trainer that is, you know, still training at the moment, or it's retired, that you look at and you'd like to emulate, and if your career could be, you know, mirror that to some degree, you'd be content when it's all said and done, whenever that is?
I suppose I look at Chris Waller, and I just look at how he's been so dominant for so long, and he's just always got a lot of good horses this time of year. You know, he's got a lineup of great horses, and I think if we could end up getting to a stage like that one day, it'd be amazing. Obviously, I look up to my old boss Kieran in the way that he's grown, and he's you know, every big race he's there with a horse with a chance. So they're probably the two that I really look up to, but there's plenty of others as well. Gay, she's, you know, time and time again, she's there. She's been doing it for a long time, and she's amazing with the 2-year-olds. And it's hard to pinpoint one trainer because there's so many great trainers. And there's a lot of, you know, I suppose I haven't actually been here for that long. I know a lot of people admire Guy Walter, and I sadly never met him. But, you know, there's a lot of trainers that were smaller with numbers and very successful. So we just want to try and, be the best we can and focus. It's group ones of what we're, you know, ultimately what really gives you the kicks.
Yeah.
But just trying to do the best out of each and every horse.
And do you chat with like people like Chris Waller and Kieran and that much anymore? Or
I chat to Kieran a fair bit, probably less so now, but we're sort of good mates. But he'd definitely be more than happy to give me advice if I needed it. Still love beating him, of course. It's a funny, it's an interesting industry because you sit up in the tower and you're basically with all your competitors, but they're also your mates. It's weird when you put it, you know, like that. It's probably one of the only sports where you're actually, you know, sitting with your competitors for 5 hours a morning. But, you know, everyone's often there. We're all trying to beat each other in races, but everyone also knows how hard the game can be. And
it is. It's like, because I, you know, coming out here a little bit, like it's so early in the morning, everyone's just that little bit tired. So you have no choice, I guess, but to have that collegiality and get on with everyone because you sort of, even if rival
Matt
trainers...
Matt Smith's a good bloke.
I don't think he caught you.
There's a lot of camaraderie, and, you know, when someone has a big winner, we've got a WhatsApp group and everyone's, you know, well done. And
isn't there prawns? Does that still happen?
Yeah, it's kind of, James Cummings has won so many group ones, it's kind of diluted it a bit.
Yeah.
It's sort of, but if I win a group one, I'll, often it happens, often they've been interstate group ones and people forget about them, but if we can win a group one this carnival, I'll make sure I bring the prawns in on the Monday morning.
Excellent. And arguably there's only one thing harder in racing than training horses, and that's trying to back a winner. And we're going to team up with you guys over the peak of spring and have a bit of a chat with you every Thursday after acceptances. And you're going to give us a bit of intel and inside knowledge from your stable and try and help punters out there back a winner. So are you ready for that challenge?
Well, I just hope I don't lose them all their money. But I enjoy that. And I always quite enjoy trying to find a bit of value as well. So it should be good. And we've got quite a lot of runners coming up and a few horses resuming and quite a few horses that have maybe been flying under the radar, so hopefully we can find a bit of value.
Yeah, no one cares if it's a winner at Nowra or if it's winning the Melbourne Cup. You know, all winners feel the same, really. Well, that's when you're backing them.
When you're backing them.
Yeah, when you're training them a little bit different.
I'm sure the bank balance might look better from my point of view with the Melbourne Cup than Nowra, but it should be great fun.
Cool. Well, thank you for your time this morning, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks for our first edition of the Annabelle set.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.